The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, good morning, everyone. And nice to be here with you. It's kind of special to have a morning like this. A group of people come together and sit quietly, meditate. So I want to say a few more words about patience. And it's not clear that there's a Buddhist word that directly translates as English word patience. The usual word that's translated as patience is kanti, kshanti in Sanskrit. And translators sometimes have translated different ways, sometimes as acceptance. Accepting what's there. But patience is a great quality. And as I said earlier, one of the little slogans for mindfulness practice is be patient, be present with patience. Be present with patience. And it has two meanings. As you hold things in awareness, as you're present with things and with your awareness, do so with patience. Do so with giving it lots of time and permission to be there. Don't be in a hurry. Don't try to fix things so quickly. And the other meaning it has is stay connected to patience. Stay connected to that quality of patience, acceptance, equanimity, so that when you walk through the world, it's already there. You don't have to kind of make yourself patient when a trying situation arises, but you walk with something like kanti, something like open acceptance of what is. So two meanings. I think one of the very interesting things about patience is that two people can be in the same difficult circumstance, trying situation, and they can both look like they're being very patient with this very trying situation. But if you could get into inside of them, you would see that the inner experience of these two people is very different, even though externally they look the same. One person finds the trying situation very trying. And so anger, resentment, frustration, irritation, all kinds of wonderful things, rise up. And not only do those rise, but in the wake of those comes strong impulses to do something, to yell, scream, bang the table, do something wonderful. And so the person feels the strong impulses, strong feelings, and the impulse to do and do something maybe unskillful. And the person is mindful enough about that, knows that they're not useful to do this, and so they hold their tongue. They put their hands in their pockets so nothing dangerous happens with your hands. You know, just kind of hold themselves. And you don't necessarily see how much their effort is going into it, but they put a lot of effort into not reacting. And in that not reacting, they're being patient with this difficult person, difficult situation. The second person, who looks like a patient person, from the inside, doesn't react. No resentment, no anger, no frustration arises at all. Nothing is triggered inside the person. And so because nothing is triggered, there's no impulse to yell or to speak up impulsively or to bang the table or whatever it might be the first person's holding themselves back from. So you could say the second person isn't being tried by the trying circumstance. And these two ways, you know, in different times in our lives, we might need to call on these two different ways. There are times when, you know, it's like the rodeo, you know, you're holding on for dear life. Sometimes, you know, things you want to say and do should not be said and done, but the power of these things can be quite intense. And so sometimes you might have to even break out into a sweat rather than to act, because of, you know, we have to respect the fiery, powerful nature of feelings and passions and what goes on inside of us. And that these aren't always so skillful, so useful to do. And so we have to kind of hold ourselves and not give in. When I was in the monastery in Japan, maybe I said this here last week, said it recently, the person who sat next to me, in the meditation hall, we slept there, we ate there, we meditated there, you know, on our place in the meditation hall. And so I was always next to this one young Japanese guy who hated me. I think maybe because I was a foreigner. He pretty much said that. And so he would, I would sit there meditating, he'd poke me. And do other interesting things. And so at least one occasion where I had this strong impulse to punch him out. He wasn't that far away, so... But I stayed patient, meaning that I didn't give into it. I didn't give in. I stayed with the situation, I thought it was better. And in the circumstance of where I was at, the best, the wisest thing I could do was not do anything at all. It would have been much worse for me if I had done anything besides just be with the situation. So maybe you have your... You know, maybe some background in your life where it took a lot of effort to not give in to some impulse. And maybe you had to go back all the way to when you were a teenager and hormones were racing. I don't know when, but... But then there's also, the contrast to that is to have this state to be, where we're not triggered to begin with. And I think this is the kind of the direction we're going in practice, or to say it differently, this is a reference point that helps us to study ourselves more carefully. If we take the first kind of patience for granted, meaning we take our impulses for granted, you know, my anger is just my anger, you know, and I know I can't always express it, and I'll be patient, but boy, am I ever justified in my being angry, and, you know, just I'm justifying it all, then we're just left with it. But when we know that there's another way of being, we know it's possible not to be triggered. It's possible to have a difficult situation occur and it for not to land anywhere inside of us. It doesn't trigger anything, we say in English. We have no buttons that get pushed. One way this buttons push things is expressed in ancient Buddhism. It has to do with conceit. When there's no conceit, the flag has been lowered. So I don't know what they... I'm not sure exactly what this metaphor is supposed to be referring to, but what I imagine is that when two armies are going to fight, they charge ahead with their banner, with their flag. And but when they lower the flag, it means that, you know, they're not going to fight. Maybe kind of a little bit... I don't know if it's the same as putting up a white flag in English, but the flag of conceit... Meaning, look who I am, and I'm special, and then we have a flag that people can attack. People can notice it, and it causes all kinds of problems. But you can lower the flag of conceit. You don't have to be carrying around with you a strong self-identity, a strong idea, I am this way, people better treat me this way. And there's all kinds of strong identity issues that can come up that we have. But it's possible to lower the flag so that when someone... maybe does something to you that maybe is unkind, it doesn't hit the button of self-righteousness. It doesn't hit the button of this person's threatening my identity. And it just goes right through. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. So the words are just there, and they just go through without having to touch anything. So this idea of the secondary kind of patience... that helps us to understand, help us with the task of studying what happens when we need the first kind of patience. So we kind of, what's really going on here when I got triggered? Can I understand my triggeredness better? Can I understand what buttons I carry with me? How many flags am I carrying with me all the time? And how many flags can I lower? And to appreciate that it is possible to show up in situations and have nothing at stake. To have nothing whatsoever at stake, so that when something happens, that I can just, in a sense, go right through us, or it can just be there, and it doesn't have to land anywhere in our mind and our hearts. So you might look for opportunities for both forms of patience and then appreciate the difference between the two forms. Some people, as they mature in practice, naturally become, you know, develop more the second kind of patience, but they don't think of it as patience. The person who doesn't need patience, the person who looks patience, but is not doing anything to be patient, might not recognize that they're being patient. Because it's not an activity, it doesn't require doing anything. And so, you know, maybe it shouldn't even be called patience when, you know, it's not an activity, it's not a doing. But from the outside, it sure looks like that person's patient. So, may you all be patient in a wise way. So now we have